Don Levy with Siena College is on the WBEN Trocare College Lifeline this morning here, and we're looking at a new poll out on the 2026 New York governor's race. And Don, thanks for the time. Before we look at potential matchups, I want to ask you about Governor Kathy Hochul herself. As she looks at re-election next year, what are her favorability ratings?
Well, right now the governor's favorability rating is holding about where it's been the last couple months, down a couple of points. 42% of New Yorkers overall have a favorable rating of the governor, 47% an unfavorable rating. She does a little bit better when we say specifically how good of a job is she doing, where 50% say that they approve of the job she's doing, 45% disapprove. The number that's troubling for the governor is a generic, what we call the generic reelect number. Would you vote for her, or would you vote for quote-unquote someone else? And there we see that the governor only gets 37% saying that they would absolutely vote for her, 55% say someone else. But when we start posing some someone else's, then they don't do as well against the governor.
It is interesting how that can happen. Do you want somebody else? Yes. What about this person? No. What about this person? No. What about this person? No. And that seems like that's how it felt. You asked about a few different possible challengers.
Yeah, absolutely. First, we took a look at the Democratic ticket. You know, we're less than a year from a potential Democratic primary. Lieutenant Governor Delgado has thrown his hat in the ring. Representative Richie Torres has thrown his hat in the ring. But first of all, neither Delgado nor Torres is all that well known to New Yorkers. 58% to 60% don't have an opinion of either of the two of them. And when we put them in a three-way race, the way a primary would be, the governor is up by 37 points amongst Democrats over Delgado, 39 points over Tories. She's way ahead. So at this point, she has a strong, if not overwhelmingly enthusiastic support amongst Democrats. Now, when we flip the scale and we say, well, what about some of the Republicans, Elise Stefanik, Mike Lawler, Bruce Blakeman? Again, they're not tremendously well-known to New Yorkers. Stefanik is the best-known, but still with 43% not having an opinion of her. And although Stefanik leads in a Republican primary decidedly over both Lawler and Blakeman, when we pit Congresswoman Stefanik against the governor is up by 23 points at this point in time, 47-24. Governor Hochul does not cross the magic 50% mark. There's a lot of voters who say they don't know. But right now she has very large leads over each of the three Republican candidates.
Not crossing the 50% mark, how much of a problem is that for her?
At this point, it's a problem, not a great problem. In fact, if you look under the hood a little bit, and I don't mean to have your eyes glaze over, but on that someone else question, we took a look at that. Of the 55% who said I would vote for someone else, of those people, only 40% of those people say they would vote for Stefanik, Blakeman, or Lawler. In fact, 40% of the people who say I want someone else simply don't know who they're going to vote for. They may or may be undecided. They may or may not end up being voters in 2026. So at this point, the governor is in a strong position, but it's a long way to go.
Would you characterize this as being very early to be asking a question like this, especially with so much unknown?
Well, I think we called it way too early, although clearly there's an appetite for it. And it continues to demand attention because Governor Hochul simply can't get over 50% of New Yorkers in a state where there's two Democrats for every one Republicans who say that they think she's doing a great job, who say that they would absolutely vote for her. So it whets the appetite of folks who want to contend with her. And I'm sure that the Republican candidates, despite the fact that they look at this, say that they still see an opening. So we're going to continue to track it. We won't track it each and every month. But we thought with less than a year to go before the primaries, it was time to take that way too early look.
Those results are really interesting when at the same time you ask voters about the direction of the state and whether it's headed in the wrong direction. You know, and I think you get over 50% on that, but you can't get 50% with her.
Right. I mean, certainly there's a level of dissatisfaction across the state. Issues like affordability, obviously, housing continue to trouble so many New Yorkers. You know, and there's concern now as to how the big, beautiful bill is going to end up impacting New Yorkers in general, specifically in areas like healthcare, rural hospitals. So there's a lot of unknowns that, New Yorkers face right now. And ultimately, they're saying, I want some relief. I want some tax relief. I want some affordability relief. That at this point, they don't give the governor an overwhelming endorsement, but no one else is rising up and sort of sweeping the popular attention. We'll see. We'll see over the next year whether it be Stefanik, Lawler, Blakeman, can they garner more of a groundswell of support across New York?
Well, what's not way too early is asking people about some of the bills that have been passed by the state legislature and some that await the governor's signature, including medical aid in dying. What did you find there?
Certainly, that's a controversial issue that we've looked at a number of times over the last 3 or 4 years. We see that a majority, 54%, support that legislation, believe the governor should sign it. 28% are opposed. But about 13% of New Yorkers, call it one out of about every seven New Yorkers, are in the middle. They're not quite sure. That bill, the medical aid and dying bill, has majority support across every region of the state, but not overwhelming majority support. Still, if indeed majority rules in terms of the governor's opinion, then we may very well see that bill signed into law. But no doubt there's tremendous lobbying behind the scenes on that issue.
What about artificial intelligence, which, I mean, comes up in just about everything, but there's a proposal to mandate that state agencies disclose when they're using it.
Overwhelming support, 77% feel as though that is indeed the case. I think we're going to continue to see any number of pieces of legislation relative to AI as time moves forward. Certainly, it is a phenomenon that each and every one of us is going to deal with in a variety of different ways. And I think citizens, consumers, are looking for some level of regulation to help them with the power that is AI.
How long until AI is just doing this whole conversation for us, Don?
You know, it's funny that you raised that question. You know, we have actually experimented with that, and it's staggering how effective AI is. We can load in a press release, the background data into an AI program, and simulate an interview just like this. And I won't say they're as good an interviewer as you are, but they answer the questions as well as I do. So it really is phenomenal. And if you're interested, I mean, I'll send you a take of what an AI-generated interview on a press release like this sounds like. And it is frighteningly good.
I thought you were going to go with, they're not as good of an interviewer
right.
as you are. They're better.
They may be better than me. They're not as good as you guys.
Hey, well, we appreciate the time this morning and sorting through some interesting numbers that you always come up with. Don Levy with Siena Research joining us live here on WBEN.